Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about five things you need to grow. Five things that are essential to your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ and your growth in your local church. Our text is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Notice what he said. Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not that you know more about him, but you know him more. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So there are five things that you need to grow in your relationship to Jesus Christ. And these same five things affect your growth and your relationship to your local church. And I believe that these things are important for everybody, but they are particularly important for young adults and for families, young families today. I have a great burden. I've been praying a great deal about young families, particularly those that are in their 30s with young children, because there are so many things going on in the world that keep them out of a local church. So many things that are going on in the world that keep them from growing in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. You're saved. And you know you're saved. But you're still a child in your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in that you haven't matured. You haven't grown. And I think these things we're going to talk about today are essential to your growth. So the five things that you need to grow are, first of all, sonship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Peter says you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, here's the first thing, sonship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." We often apply this verse almost exclusively to marriage, but it encompasses so much more than that. Listen, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now that is a beautiful thing. This temple of God, this temple of the living God, I believe, is the church. I believe it's the body of Christ. I believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but I believe we corporately are the temple of the living God, and I believe that from Ephesians chapter 2, particularly the last part of the chapter. And God said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So in our local churches, we need to recognize that the temple is not the building, but the people who are in Christ. Okay? So he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So I say that the first thing you need to do in order to grow, or the first thing you need to grow, is this, sonship. You see, in sonship, you have a twofold relationship. One, in this passage, you get away from the world, and two, you grow toward God. Do you understand? He says, "Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." All right, you do that, he says, "and I will receive you. And then I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." You see, the trouble with young adults that get saved, and the trouble with young families today, is this very simply. You still like sin in the world. You still like the world. And when you continue to take pleasure in the sin of the world, I mean, you even plan your day around it. You plan your week around it. You say, okay, Friday night we're going to go out. And you go out and, you know, you have a few beers or you have a margarita and that kind of stuff. And you do your little thing and you play your little games just like all the rest of the world does. You know what's happened? What's happened is you're stunting your growth in Jesus Christ. You're stunting your growth in the temple of God. Because a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God would not be where you are doing what you're doing. You have two lives, and God wants you to have one life. Many years ago, there was a young lady who went to a dance hall and was dancing with a young fella, handsome young man. And as they were dancing, you know, she was talking, and he got the idea, this woman is saved. He said, "Do you go to church?" "Yeah, I go to such and such church." He said, "Then what are you doing here?" He recognized that she shouldn't be where she was because it wasn't the place, listen, not just for Christians, but for the children of God to be. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18 and 20, we see this very, very clearly. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Verse 20 says, "When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." Do you understand? You're in one of two situations. You're either free from sin, and therefore you are a servant of righteousness, or you are the servant of sin, and therefore you are free from righteousness. Some of us grew up in church, and we were allured by temptation into the world, and we wanted to be free from righteousness so we could go experience the sin of the world. We didn't realize when we did that, we were becoming the servants of sin. Thank God, God rescued us out of that and made us free from sin. But when he did, he also made us servants of righteousness. So we used to serve sin. Now we are to serve the Lord. And the trouble with young adults and the trouble with young families is you want to live in the world serving sin and yet still enjoy all the benefits of your father-son relationship with God. And he said, you can't do that. You've got to come out from among them and be you separate, and then I'll be a father to you. Now, there's no better father-son relationship in the universe than the one you can have with God. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He will fellowship with you. He will love you. He accepts you in the beloved. He will provide for you. He will give you peace. He will give you grace and strengthen you by his grace. Man, he will clean you up and give you purpose in your life and give you joy that is so far abundantly above anything you could possibly ever experience in the world. You will never know what that's like until you recognize you are a son of God and therefore away from the world and moving toward God. And listen, your buddies and all your people, they need to know, I am a child of God and I stand with God and I am moving away from the sin and I'm moving away from the world. I believe that is absolutely the most important thing you need to begin your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ is sonship, away from sin in the world and toward God, your Father. But here's the second one. The second one that you need to grow is stewardship. Stewardship. You see, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, there's a parable here about a nobleman, that's Jesus Christ, who goes into a far country. We're talking about Luke 19, 12. That's heaven. He receives for himself a kingdom. All right, that's the kingdom of God. And he returns, second coming. He calls his 10 servants, that's you and me, and delivers them 10 pounds, so we each get the same amount, and said unto them, occupy till I come. All right, so you and I are occupied for the Lord. Now, when the nobleman comes back, one man had a pound. It made 10 pounds. He said in verse 17, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Another one took the pound, made 5 pounds. He said, good, you have authority over 5 cities. Okay? These men were faithful in their stewardship. Stewardship, that's the second thing. You see, the Lord has something that he wants you to do. The Lord has something that he wants you to do in service to him. That's why he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this service requires your time and your money. And you say, well, I don't like that, because that means that I have to go to church often. And that means that I have to give. You got it. You are absolutely right. Do you want to grow in your relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you want to grow in your relationship to your local church? And I don't know what your local church is like, but I'm going to tell you. If it's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church where God is glorified, you're going to want to get connected to something like that. I have been in this thing a long time, and people who are not in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church where God is glorified, they don't grow. But just a little bit. They don't really grow. Now, I don't know all of your circumstances. You may be, you know, an exception to the rule, but for the most part, if you can get to one and you don't grow. Only just a little bit. It really stunts your growth. You say, well, why is it? Because God set it up that way. The local church is the organization, that part of the organism of the body of Christ that God uses to carry out his work in the earth. That's what he does. It's how he does it. It's the way he set it up. And in there, we are to serve the Lord. And in order to do that, you have to be a steward. And that service requires your time, and it requires your money. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 describes what's necessary in servants, in stewards. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That fellow that made 10 pounds out of one, he said, you know what? You've been faithful. Now, I want to ask you something. Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful in church? Are you faithful with your tithe? Are you faithful to offer? You know what I've noticed? There are a lot of people that I've seen over these years in the ministry that are now actively serving God in a great capacity. And I want to tell you two characteristics of every single one of them. These two characteristics are in every one of them. They are great stewards of their money, and they are great stewards of their time. Every time they can make it to church, and every time the church has a service, they are there, and they always give their tithe, and they always give offerings in excess of their tithe. You just book it. People that hold back and are not stewards of their time and not stewards of their money, they never blossom in their growth in the Lord, and they never blossom in their service to the Lord. It never happens. You don't grow. It stunts your growth. So of the five things that you need to grow, the first one is sonship. You need to grow in your relationship to God as Father, and in order to do that, you need to grow away from the world and the sin of your life. You just need to say, you know what? I'm going to have to let this go. I can't drink and be a son of God at the same time. I can't do it. And you got to be a steward. And that stewardship is service, and it requires your time, and it requires your money. You say, well, I don't want to grow if it requires all that. Then don't grow. You won't grow. But you will be disobedient to the Lord, because he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, here's the next thing you need. You need leadership. Leadership. And leadership comes in two capacities. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You need God's leadership in your life. You need to learn to follow God. You say, well, how do I do that? It's very simple. You get up in the morning, you get in your Bible every single day, and you read a sufficient amount in order to get direction and strength and comfort and peace and joy from the Lord, and then you pray. And you read your Bible and you pray. And in that, God, through His Holy Spirit, provides leadership in your life, and you follow God. Because listen, what we do here in the earth, we don't do for God. God does through us. But if you're not a vessel that is saturated in His Bible, and if you're not a vessel that's praying, then God can't do through you. The best you can hope to do is to do for Him. But the trouble with doing for God, you don't know whether it's what God wanted you to do or not. What if you had an old plow horse and you had a field to plow, and you went over there to get your plow horse, and he's not there? He's over there somewhere else doing something you didn't ask him to do, and you can't get him to come over and pull the plow because he's too occupied doing something for you. Well, he wouldn't be a plow horse worth having. What you want is one when you need. You go to the pen, there he is. He's rested and he's ready. You hook up the plow and he does what you want to do. That's God. You need to learn to follow God and let him do through you what he wants done. That's how he handled his relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need that leadership in your life. And you get it through Bible and prayer. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11 shows you the other part of leadership in your life that you need. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul was a man you could follow because he was following Christ. And you know what you need? You need to follow a good man in your life, a man who is following Christ. That's what you need. In other words, a good man that you could follow would be a Sunday school teacher, be a godly influence in your life, a good pastor, a pastor that's truly following the Lord. You need that in your life. You need spiritual and practical leadership in your life. Why? Because you don't know how to live the Christian life. And the funny thing is, as you get started, when you're a young adult and young family, and you've got somebody that's in your Sunday school class that's a teacher, or you've got a good pastor, you can go and seek godly counsel and say, look, I am faced with this decision. I think I could borrow this much money and do this kind of thing, and I just don't know whether it's right. And he could say, you know what? Because he's lived longer than you have, he served the Lord longer than you have, he's been down that road before, and say, you know what? That would not be a wise idea. And you say, you know what? Thank you for your counsel. God confirms it in your Bible reading and in your prayer, and you follow that man's advice, and he keeps you out of trouble. Young adults don't know all there is about raising kids, and people who have already raised kids through, you know, full grown, know some things about that you don't know, and they can be there to help you. Same with young adults who are prone to make mistakes. So you need leadership in your life if you want to grow. Follow God, follow a good man who's following Christ. All right? Five things you need to do or need to have to grow are sonship, go close to the Father and away from the world, stewardship with your time and your money, leadership, learning to follow God and following a good man who's following Christ. Now you need this. Fourth thing, discipleship. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. All right, you know what you need? You need, listen, two things. You need to go to Sunday school and church. I'm not talking about once a week or once a month. I'm talking about you need to get into church where they have Sunday school and a Sunday morning service and then a Sunday evening service where the preaching is different than it was Sunday morning and a Wednesday evening service where you can pray with the saints and hear another sermon that's different than anything else you've heard all week that's tailored to that praying crowd. You say, why? Because that's how God conveys to you, that's how that man who has been given this commission to commit these things to faithful men gives you what God gave him that he wanted you to give them. As a pastor, when we go to the pulpit to preach, we're not trying to come up with something that we got off the internet or something that we just thought would be real good for the people because we know our sheep so well. We go to God in prayer. We get in that Bible until God gives us a message, and then we get in the pulpit to tell you what God said. And when we do, God speaks to you through the preaching and gives you direction in your life, and you learn the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, then correction, you know, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That's how you get your doctrine. And God gives that to you so that you grow in your understanding of the Bible. Those are well-organized and prepared lessons and sermons that help you grow. And then you know what else you need? Particularly right after you get saved, you need somebody to sit down with you who can take the Bible and give you individual discipleship and teach you the basics of the Christian life and the basics of the Bible. You need somebody to sit down with you and say, okay, read this, you read it. Read this, you read it. Read this, you read it. And make some application to establish you in a foundation upon which you can grow. I've gotten to do discipleship with a number of people throughout my time in the ministry, and I'll tell you what, those who have gone through some good discipleship, they're all serving the Lord today. They're all doing something for God. Why? They have a good, strong foundation upon which to build their Christian life. You need that. And then one other thing, five things you need to grow. The last thing is fellowship. And may I tell you something? This is the first thing that's emphasized in churches, and it should be the last thing. I mean, it's important. It's one of the five. But it's not the preeminent thing. It is an important part, but it's fifth on the list. It's fellowship. 1 John 1:3. All right, in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, speaking of Jesus Christ, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But notice he said, fellowship with us. And you need godly fellowship. Godly fellowship is, I'm in fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, you're in fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, and then we have fellowship together. And that's the kind of fellowship to have. But you know what the problem is today with young adults and young families? I don't say across the board, but with many of you, it's this. You're still stuck in your fellowship in darkness. Ephesians 5:11-12 say this. Ephesians 5:11-12 say this. Have no fellowship. Listen, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And you know what? It goes back to the first point. You still want to go to the movie and watch all that Hollywood trash and then think you're going to get something out of a dull sermon on Sunday. And you can't. Why? Because you have exposed yourself to a ton of darkness that you didn't reprove. And what it did is it blanked out your light. You need to cut off your fellowship with the world. I didn't say you need to cut off your witness. You still are going to work with people who are lost and have neighbors that are lost and even have friends that are lost. But you're not going to get into fellowship with them where their darkness puts out your light. You're going to be there so that your light exposes their darkness. And in that reproof, there are going to be some that come to Jesus Christ. So you need to cut off your fellowship with the world, but you know what you need? You need godly fellowship. The idea that you're going to raise your children at home and you're going to have a little Bible study and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to grow. You need fellowship with other believers who are godly, who are in Christ. Why? They encourage you. They exhort you. They stir your heart. he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And this gives you the opportunity with other people who are praying to do things together for God. He can work through that group. Oh, have we ever seen that in our local church? It's been beautiful. In this, I've noticed that as we wait on God to raise up Sunday school teachers, deacons, men to serve the Lord, men to win souls to Jesus Christ and sow seed, if we wait on God and let him just build that person up to what he wants him to be and then puts him into that aspect of the ministry that he wants, that thing hums like a well-tuned motor. And we're doing it in godly fellowship. Listen, they had it in Acts chapter 2. They had godly fellowship. Why would it change now? It wouldn't. You need it. Five things that you need to grow in your Christian life, and I'm telling you, you're not going to grow right or you're not going to grow fully without these. Number one, sonship. You have got to build in your relationship between you and your Father, and you do that by getting away from sin and getting away from the world and build that Father-Son relationship. You need stewardship. Yes, you are going to serve the Lord if you're going to grow, and that service is going to require your time at church and in the Bible and in prayer and your money. It really is. And then you need leadership. You need to learn to follow God by getting up every day and praying and reading that Bible and following what it says. And then you need a good, godly man in your life, a good pastor, a good Sunday school teacher that you can follow. You need it. And then you need discipleship. You need to sit down with somebody who is more mature than you that can show you specifically in the Bible the basics of the Christian life upon which you can live the rest of your Christian life. And then you need fellowship. You've got to be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church where the people love God and God is glorified and you make friendships with the people in there and those friendships build you. Iron sharpeneth iron. And they build you into a better person than you would be if you didn't have fellowship with those believers. I'll tell you something now. If you will follow this counsel, that may mean you're going to have to change some things in your life. But I'll tell you what, as you do, you're going to grow and you are going to be glad with the results of those changes in your life. I pray that God will use this message to help you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.